Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God answers this prayer by his grace. And grace is that which is not deserved, but freely given. And what I want you to see today is that God's grace operates in many wonderful ways.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller, and today we continue our series, Six Things to Ask of God, as we study the Lord's Prayer. And as we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Colin, you said God answers that prayer by his grace. And I think often we think of grace as something that just applies to believers.
Well, it certainly does apply to believers. By grace we are saved. I mean, it's a wonderful theme in the Bible that God gives us what we do not deserve in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, it's a marvelous truth too that God is kind in his nature. The scripture says the Lord is good to all. God is gracious even to his enemies. In this sense, Jesus says he makes the sun rise on the just and the unjust. People who perform the worst of evil deeds and who hate God still experience his kindness in the rain falling on them, in being given breath still to live. I mean, God is wonderfully, wonderfully kind. Now, here's where the Bible goes with that. In Romans, Paul says, don't you realize that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? Yeah. So it's valid for us as Christian believers to pray that there will be deliverance from the worst of evils, even in the lives of those who do not know and love the Lord, and that in God's kindness, it may be the means by which they come into a new and living knowledge of him.
Well, we're going to continue to look at that today as we continue our message, God's Deliverance. Here is Pastor Colin.
What I want you to see today is that God's grace operates in many wonderful ways. I want to identify for you four ways in which God's grace operates, four ways in which God answers this last petition of the Lord's Prayer. The first of them, this is very important, is common grace. When we pray, deliver us from evil, God answers this prayer through common grace. You say, well, now what is that? Common grace is God's kindness to all people, including those who do not believe in him, those who have no place for him in their lives, and even those who outright defy him. Now, I wonder if you've ever thought about this. The Bible makes it very clear that by nature, we are all dead in trespasses and sins. Have you ever wondered then, why is it that if we're all dead in trespasses and sins, why is it that so many unbelieving people seem able to live peaceful, happy, and very productive lives? Why is it that many who have no place for God in their lives whatsoever are often very patient, very kind, seem to have good family relationships, good marriages, be considerate, be generous, and very loving? Why is that? And the answer to that is common grace. God's kindness puts good gifts into the lives of all people, including those who don't believe in him, those even who may defy him. Jesus says, Matthew 5, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Notice what your Father in heaven does. He makes his sun rise on the evil and the good. The best person and the worst person both experiences the same blessing of the sunshine from the hand of God. And the same goes for the rain. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. So every good gift comes from the hand of God, including the good that may be in the lives of those who don't believe in him, those who have no room for them, and those who may even defy him. The blessings of love in their lives, the blessing of family, the blessings of creative genius in music, in folks who may have no place for God in their life, art, science, discoveries, medicine. Where does all this good come from? Every good gift comes from the hand of God, including the good gifts that have been put into the lives of those who do not yet believe and may never believe and may even be defiant towards God. This is common grace, God's goodness to those who don't believe in him, those who may even defy him. Psalm 145 says, "The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made." And his kindness is not only that he gives good to all, but also that he restrains the worst in all. See, however bad this world becomes, it always could be worse. However evil human beings may become, we could always be worse. The worst of people are not as the demons of hell. And the reason that this world is not hell is very simply God's restraining grace, his common grace that not only gives the good, but holds back the worst. Now, when God loosens this restraint of the worst, the Bible is very clear that it is a sign of his wrath. Romans 1 speaks about this, that there are times where God's wrath is revealed by his giving sinners up to what we persist in choosing. But the whole point there is that is God's strange work. His normal work is to restrain the worst. And he does that for the common good, and that is part of his common grace. Now, how does God restrain the worst in the world? Well, there are many answers to that question. Let me just give you two. One, God restrains the worst through conscience, which is his gift to all. And God restrains the worst through government, which Romans chapter 13 makes very clear is also his gift in this fallen world. Now, we all know that a conscience can be corrupted, and we know that government can be corrupted. But you see, any conscience and any government is better than none at all. So when we pray, "Deliver us from evil," we are asking God for common grace. Lord, in your mercy, give what is good in the community, and restrain what is worst in us, in our community, in our nation, and in our world. Raise up people of goodwill and of great wisdom who are able to bring others together and grant that peace and justice will prevail. That's common grace. And God works for its advance through those who may not believe in him and even defy him, as he works for the good through those who love him and honor him. And then secondly, God answers this prayer through special grace. When we pray, "Lead us not into temptation," God answers this prayer through special grace, which is his kindness when we are tested. Now, brothers and sisters, this is a very wonderful truth. God will give to you special help when you face special trials at special times. And the Apostle Paul speaks about this very clearly at least twice. Once is in Philippians, where he tells us that at different times in his life, he had had plenty, and then there were times when he was in great need. And how did he get through the times when he had great need? He says this, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." In other words, this was his experience, that when he came to a time of special difficulty, God gave him special grace, special strength. And he speaks about the same thing again in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. That's the passage where he speaks about something very painful in his life that was there for years. He would have loved to be free from it, but God never took it away. He calls it a thorn in my flesh. And he says this, that God gave him this promise, my grace is sufficient for you and my power is made perfect in weakness. And here's the principle. When you are stretched to the point where you feel, I don't know how I'm going to carry on, God's grace will be sufficient for you. Special grace. Strength given particularly for this. I will infuse my strength into your weakness according to what you are facing so that you are able to bear up and to carry this load and to endure. There's an old hymn that says it like this, all the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. See, that's it. Gives me grace for every trial. And when we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, God answers with special grace that will enable you to endure. And then thirdly, God answers this prayer through restoring grace, which is his kindness to us when we have failed. Now remember that on the night when Jesus was betrayed, Peter was tempted. Jesus had said to him, now watch and pray so that you do not enter into temptation. Peter didn't watch and Peter did not pray. And Jesus knew that he would enter into temptation, and indeed Peter denied the Lord Jesus three times, and then the cock crowed. And that would have been the end for Peter as a disciple, except for one thing. Very wonderfully, Jesus said to him, Simon, Satan has demanded to have you, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Now you see, Jesus knew that Peter would fail, but he prayed that Peter's faith would not fail. And that's why Peter's failure didn't have the last word in his life. He turned again. Notice it's not if you turn again, it's when you turn again. Jesus knew that he would turn again because that's what Jesus prayed for. That's restoring grace. And Jesus went to the cross for sinners like Peter and sinners like you and sinners like me. He rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven. What's he doing in heaven now? He's interceding, the Bible says, for us. He's doing right now for us what he did for Peter then. He is praying so that sin will not have the last word in any of our lives. Here's the reality. Like Peter, you and I, we will fail. But like Peter, you're going to turn again if you belong to Christ. And when you repent, you will be restored. And why is this? Because Jesus prays for you that sin will not have the last word in your life. And when you're tempted and when you fall, he will not let you go. There's a wonderful verse in the book of Micah in the Old Testament that will be a help and encouragement to you, especially at a time where temptation overcomes you. And you may feel, oh, I've failed so many times in this area. Now I've failed again. And you get discouraged. Go to Micah 7 and verse 8. Rejoice not over me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. See, I'm down, but I'm not going to stay down because of restoring grace. I have light even in this darkness of my failure. Jesus is my light, and therefore I'm going to rise up and press on in following hard after him.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called God's Deliverance, the final message in our series, Six Things to Ask of God. And if you missed any of the broadcasts in the series, you can listen online at openthebible.org, or you can order a copy of the entire series on CD. Ask about six things to ask of God when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Let's get back to the message. Again, here's Pastor Colin.
So here's this prayer that we so need. And God will answer it. And how does he answer it? He answers it through common grace, through special grace, and through restoring grace. And just one more thing, and it's the best of all, through saving grace, which is God's kindness when we turn to him in faith and in repentance. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Maybe there is someone here in this last congregation today and you are not yet a believer. And you have come to a place in your life when you are feeling a strong pull of temptation. And you're beginning to think, maybe I need some help. Maybe I need deliverance. Maybe I need a savior. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus is the savior that you need. Maybe there's someone here and you've come to a place of saying, you know what, I really do need to be forgiven. And I need God to forgive me. Or maybe there's something that you need to forgive and it's not easy to forgive. You don't have this forgiveness in you because you've been wounded very deeply. And you know that you need the help that only God can give. Maybe there's someone here and you say, I don't know how I'm going to get through these next days, weeks, and months. I need God to give me something I don't have. And I don't know where to find it. And maybe there are some here who are beginning to despair even of this world in which we live. You're losing hope. You're saying, will this world ever be any different? And you need the hope that can only come with the Lord Jesus Christ and through his kingdom. Now, friends, do you see that Jesus is saying that these are the very things that you can ask of God? But the asking begins when you come to know God as your own Father. And you come to know God as your own Father when you believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. When you believe in his name, God makes you one of his own children. He adopts you into his own family. And you know, when you become a child of God by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have way more than common grace. You're going to enjoy saving grace. And when you face times of special trial and testing in your life, you're going to receive special grace to help you. And when you fail, you're going to experience God's marvelous restoring grace. And as you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, here is what God will do for you. He's going to put into your heart his own Holy Spirit. And when his Holy Spirit is in your heart, you're going to have a new love for him. I mean, a real love for him that actually comes from within you because God put it within you. And because you really love him, you're not trying to put this on, you really have come to love him as your own Father. Therefore, you will have a genuine desire to see his name honored. You'll have a new hope in the coming of his kingdom. You'll say, I belong to this kingdom and this kingdom belongs to me. You'll have a new energy, a new strength to pursue his will. You'll have a new confidence because you'll be able to say, now God is my Father and I know that he will provide for me. You'll have a peace that you have not known before because you will be able to say and know, my sins have been forgiven by my Father in heaven. And you will have a new security because whatever comes in your life, you will be able to say, and my Father will deliver me. So I invite you right now to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are able to say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost. I now am found. I was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come It's grace that has brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home. Let's bow in God's presence in prayer together. Oh, our Father in heaven, we come before you today profoundly aware of our utter dependence on you. We grieve that your name is not honored, that your will is not done, and we long to see your kingdom come in power and in glory. Father, today we pray, deliver us from evil. Our nation is in turmoil. Deliver us from the evil of racism. Deliver us, O Lord, from this virus, we pray. Raise up in our polarized society people of reason and goodwill and wisdom who can bring others together. Father, we sometimes fear that what we experience may be an outpouring of your wrath, that you are giving us up to sins we have persisted in choosing. O Lord, do not give us up. In wrath, remember mercy, we pray. And lead us not into temptation. The roots of sin lie so deep within us, and we ask that you will help us to watch and pray this week. When the inclination to sin rises within us, help us by your grace to deal with it early and decisively. By the power of your Spirit, we pray. Father, we thank you that you are the God of all grace. All of our hope is in you. In your common grace, restrain the worst and promote the best in our community, our nation, and our world. And where we are tested, give us special grace that we may be able to carry the load. And where we have failed, restore us, dear Lord, we pray. You are our light, so help us to turn again and to rise up and to follow you. Save people even today, dear Lord, by your grace and through your word. And hasten the day when our faith will be sight. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Pastor Colin Smith here on Open the Bible, wrapping up our message, God's Deliverance, the final message in our series, Six Things to Ask of God, where we've been taking a look at the Lord's Prayer. And if you want to go back and listen to any of this series again, you can do that when you come to our website, openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. It's your generosity that allows us to bring you Pastor Colin's teaching each day. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a copy of Pastor Colin's new book. It's a beautiful hardcover book called 30 Days with Jesus in the Lord's Prayer. And Colin, who did you write this book for?
Well, I wrote this for everyone who feels that they want to have a better prayer life. You know, everyone who feels they need a stronger desire to pray, a more disciplined, more passionate and faith-filled approach to prayer. And I think that's probably just about every Christian believer. The disciples of Jesus, of course, had heard all kinds of prayers. I mean, they had heard the prayers of the Pharisees and the empty phrases that many people used in prayer. But when they saw Jesus pray, they recognized there was something different about the way that he prayed. There was an intimacy with God. There was a closeness, a fellowship, a reality. And they really wanted that for themselves. So they said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And that's exactly what the Lord's Prayer is. It is Jesus teaching us how to pray to God the Father. Well, who wouldn't want to pull up a chair and sit and hang on every word that Jesus has to say?
Well, we want to send you a copy of this brand new book from Pastor Colin as our way of saying thank you for your financial support. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. Again, that's openthebible.org or 1-877-673-6365. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
At Open the Bible, we're grateful for like-minded organizations committed to sharing the gospel around the world. And to that end, I'd like to commend the work of Global Fingerprints. You know, in the book of James, God calls us to help orphans in their distress. That's a clear command, but it's not always clear how we should obey it. And this is where Global Fingerprints comes in. Through Global Fingerprints, you can sponsor a vulnerable child to help meet their physical needs and ensure they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to commend Global Fingerprints to you. They're focused on equipping the local church to care for children, and where there is no church, they help to plant one. If you'd like to help a vulnerable child, you can find more information on Global Fingerprints at our website, openthebible.org/GF. That's openthebible.org/GF.